All right, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowedest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. Now, you got to sort of understand what Moses is reminding Israel is what it used to be like in Egypt. Now, why would he do that? Well, I think for a couple of reasons. One, what he's about to tell them, so he's contrasting what they used to have versus what they're about to have in the promised land first. But then also, remember what they would always say as they complained? Oh, that we were back in Egypt. Remember, they would always say that. Well, it's as though he's reminding them what it was like. Yes, maybe they had the fertile grounds, but it wasn't because God gave them fertility in the grounds with seed and the growth and all that. It was because they had to plow the ground. They had their legs in the mud, knee deep, planting and pushing and getting everything prepared for the harvest. And that's what he's reminding them of. Verse 10, the last part of it, and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. You're up to your knees in mud. Remember those days when you had to work that hard to have the crops? He goes on, verse 11, but the land whither ye go to possess it, in other words, where you're going now, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. That's quite different. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. I love that phrase. In fact, it's not underlined in my Bible, but it should be. And tonight when I get home, if I don't forget, I'm going to underline that. Let me read it again, verse 12. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. I love those words, don't you? That God cared for the land. God cares. You know he cares more about you than he cares about the land? And he cares about the land, but he cares more about you. I love that. I can't get over that, actually. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Just meditate on that for a minute. He cares that much about the land. He cares more about you. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship men. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. I'm not going to give you the title. We're going to wait till the end here. So let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, I pray your help tonight as we seek to honor you in our hearts and obey you as you work in us. God, we open our hearts to you. We desire and desperately need to hear from you. You promised us in your word that you would speak to us if we heard. Faith cometh by hearing. If we listen, God, you'd work in us. And we know that's your promise. So we open our hearts to hear, to listen, to give attention to the word. And tonight, the needs that are on the hearts are relative to the life and the choices of the individuals that are here. And so you know what the needs of everybody here is. And whether it's reproof, rebuke, correction, instruction, and righteousness, you know the need. So I pray that you would guide in that way and work in us just where we need to be touched. Thank you for Jesus and for the word and for your grace. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Look at verse number 7. Let's remember what we talked about on Sunday night. It says, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Now, when we read that, what we need to remember is that God has been good. Israel had experienced the goodness of God. Well, that has meaning in our life too, doesn't it? Because Israel experienced the goodness of God, and we can see the historical record chronicled in the Bible that God has been good to Israel. But when you reflect on your life, we also can say and should say, God's been good to me. I think that our tendency, though, is to have sort of a negative, cynical attitude. Now, I'm not saying that we have negative, cynical attitudes tonight. I'm just saying, as human beings, I think that, generally speaking, that's our tendency. To see the problems. To see the negative. Moms, dads, when you told your child to clean up the room, or the living room, or the dining room, or the kitchen, or wherever their mess was. And if it's my kids, it's all of it. It's all. They leave a mess everywhere they went, you know. And you say, I need you to clean that up. And when you walk into the room and they're like, it's clean. I'm like, okay, let's go do an inspection. You don't even have to put the white glove on. You just walk in there and you see all of the things that somehow they didn't see. And you question, can you walk out of this room and possibly say to me that this is clean? Right? That's what our tendency is. They see, this is clean. And you walk in and you see, this is not clean. Why? Because that's what we do in life. We walk in to relationships, and the things that hit us first are the things that bother us. We forget all of the good things about people when they did something that hurt us. You know, all we can focus on is that one thing, this bracket of time when they did something and it hurt and it reflects on them in a negative way, and our focus is there so that we forget everything else. That's our tendency. And there's nobody who doesn't do that. We all tend to do that. So we really need God's help, don't we, to focus on the goodness of God in our lives. And not on the problems that we have or the things we're missing out on. Israel has experienced the goodness of God. They needed to reflect on that. But it was hard for them. Why? Because they had hard hearts. Look at verse 16 of chapter 10. Yes, 16 of chapter 10. Look what it says. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. That's what they tended to be. Hard heart. Stiff-necked is to have a hard heart. Stiff-necked is to be stubborn, to be rebellious in your heart. And that's what they tended to have, and that's what we tend to have also at times. When we experience the goodness of God and we need to walk with the Lord and obey Him and do the things that He wants us to do, and there's good reason for it because He's been good to us, but there's a hardness there and a tendency for us to struggle to move forward in obedience to God. It's a sad part of our struggle to become the Christian God wants us to be, is to not be prideful and hard when God's trying to move in and do a work. So then it fast forwards us as we're thinking about what God has already been speaking to Israel about and reminding them about and how He's working in us to verse number 8. Look at it with me. This is our text. It says, therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day. Now, that, you think, well, that's just sort of, wait, haven't we heard that already a lot of times? And even just in the book of Deuteronomy, yes, we have actually. He's telling them again things that He's already said to them multiple times. And that is, you need to give your attention to my commandments. You need to give your attention to what I'm asking and calling and leading and doing in your life. So God is constantly trying to get our attention, right? And He's sometimes over and over with the same things. He's working in us. Why would He do that? Well, remember how hard we tend to be. And God knows that about our hearts. And so He works in us about the same things. And let's summarize it to one thing, and we talked about it Sunday night, and that is surrender. That God wants us to surrender ourselves to Him, to give our hearts to Him, to surrender, to live in that kind of obedience to God. He wants that for us. Why? Because He wants to bless our lives. And blessings come to those who are walking in obedience to God. That's what we said Sunday night. We said blessings come from the Lord. Why did we do the things that we did? Because we forgot. Why did you neglect God in this area of your life? Well, let's answer that. Because you forgot. Because we forget. Blessings come from God. And so God is reminding them, he's saying, listen, you need to surrender yourself. Remember when the kids were singing Sunday morning? And then at the end of it, Brother Steve stood and gave the awards away. And then when Zachary was the Patch the Pirate Sailor of the Year, thank you, and he got the award for that, the red ribbon with the medal on it, you couldn't wipe that smile off of his face, could you? I mean, he was beaming. And I loved that. You know, you don't just get those kind of things. You know, this isn't like, well, you know, everybody needs to get one of those. No. You have to earn that. You have to do things, and then you get that blessing. You know, God doesn't operate in the way the world operates today, where everybody gets a first place award because you participated. Mm-mm. You do not get blessings if you are ignoring the guidance of God. Zachary was blessed because he was diligent, because he was an honorable child. He was focused and he did the things that was required of him. He was respectful. He's obedient. I know these things about him, or at least while he's here. Grandma's not here to say how he is at home anyway. But this is the way that he is. I mean, his character shines even when he's not in patch. And the blessing came to him as a result of his character. God wants to do that in our life. But we need to understand that those kinds of blessings come in our life because of the choices that we make in relationship to what God's trying to do in us. We cannot ignore him. We need to listen to his touch. We need to listen to his voice as he speaks to us from his word. Look at verse number 13 with me. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently to my commandments. So now we have sort of a continuation. In the passage, he's saying, you're going to be blessed of God. I'm going to send rain. I'm going to send harvest. I'm really going to bless you. But he's reminding them that these kinds of blessings are related to your attitude about my commandments, about what I'm trying to do in your life. So he says again, hearken diligently. Now, what is that? Hearkening diligently, if you looked it up, it basically means listen it with intent. It means to give attention to. Let's give another word to it that fits the context so well and maybe moves us a little bit, okay? Here's a good word for what he says. When he says, hearken diligently, here's the word, follow. You know what God wants you to learn to do? To follow him. He wants you to learn to follow him. Now that's a good word, isn't it? To follow. You know, you don't really need to know where you're going if you'll just follow. You know? The problem with following somebody is if they just take off and leave you in the dust. You ever had that happen? All right, I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to follow you. Don't forget I'm following you. My brother-in-law. I hope he listens to this sermon. He drives like a maniac. I'm surprised. Anyway, I don't want to doom him, but don't try to follow him unless you drive like a maniac too. And then Lord help both of you, you know. But I don't drive like that. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow you. He's gone. All right. Call somebody because I don't know where we're going. You know. God isn't that way. He wants us to follow him. He's not going to take off and leave you in the dust. He just wants you to hearken diligently. So in other words, just learn to soften your heart. Listen to the voice of God. That's what the word literally means. It means to listen, to obey, to give attention to. The good word, it's so practical with this, is to learn to follow. There's a good song the Rochester sing. It's called Follow the Leader. Follow the Leader. That's a game the kids play, right? Follow the leader, and then you just walk around and do little loops and crawl over things, and it's fun with the kids. But that's not complicated. Just follow, you know. How about this? Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. What next? Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. And then he says, and it says this, anywhere he leads me, I will follow on. That's what hearken diligently. God, you're the leader, and I'm just going to follow. Ooh, it sure makes decisions a lot easier, doesn't it? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. We don't have to worry. If you're just following God, all you got to do is just keep going as God goes. And then it takes sort of all the stress out of things. Or it should. We shouldn't have to deal with stress if you're a Christian. You shouldn't have to. That's why God says, cast all your care upon me. You don't have to struggle with anxiety. Just follow God. Let him deal with it. Like the joke. I don't remember. I think it was Brother Chad that said it. You know, I'm such a worrier. I'm such a worrier. You know, in fact, I'm such a worrier. I can't even sleep at night. So I hired somebody to help take care of my worry. I hired a guy and he's going to worry for me. He's going to do all my worrying for me. Really? You hired a guy to do your worrying? Yeah, he's going to do all my worrying for me so I don't have to worry anymore. And so how much does that cost? $1,000 a week. How do you afford that? I don't know. That's his problem. That's good stuff, right?
Amen.
I don't ever tell jokes. That one came to me. Thank you, bro. You know what? God doesn't want you to worry.
Right.
You don't have to worry. You just need to get in line behind God and let him take care of everything as you follow him. Hearken diligently. Let God work. Let God move. Let God lead you. Let him guide you. And he takes care of things. Let's look at another. Let's continue on with this because it gets good. As you're following the leader, as you're following God, we need to remember this. Before I read the verses, let me say this phrase and then we'll read the verses. When you follow God, he doesn't allow you to let him be in some kind of a competition with something else. Now, we do that. We put God in competition with other things in our life. God will not allow you to do that. It's very important to God that you follow him and that you follow him exclusively. And it's all through the Bible, by the way. Now, it's not popular. People don't really like to hear things like that because it requires surrender and sacrifice, and a lot of people often aren't willing to do those kinds of things to follow God. But, you know, he demands follow exclusive. Verse 16 and 17, let's see that. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Why? Because then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. So what Moses is explaining is what it looks like to hearken diligently, ultimately, is to follow God. But then he sort of gives the other side, or the tendency that we have, I guess, is that we would tend to struggle to follow God exclusively. When? Not when things are good. When things are going good, it's easy, right? Like when things are going great with you financially, following God isn't that hard. When things are going good in your relationships, when you're in your marriage, things are good. It's not as hard to follow God. When things are good in other relationships with people in the church, or between you and important figures or other family members or your neighbors. When relationships are good, it's not hard to follow, but it's a lot harder to follow when things are going bad, when things aren't going good. Why? Because the devil gets so loud in those times. The devil gets so loud in throwing counsel your way. Have you ever needed to make decisions in really hard times? And you keep hearing counsel or advice, and if you just put it against the Bible, you would know quickly, this is not good advice. The devil doesn't want you to make wise choices when you're in hard times. He'll send all kinds of distracting things your way to get you to make choices based on things other than God, other than following God. Because to deal with problems, sometimes following God doesn't look like it's going to solve the problem. Ever needed to do something that God's wanting you to do in the middle of a problem? And you know what God wants you to do, but it doesn't seem like it's going to fix the problem, but make it worse. You just had that last year at camp, before camp, remember? You show, and now I'm throwing you under the bus, but I just saw you, so there you go. So you needed to deal with a relationship issue, and you were afraid that if you did that, it was going to mess up camp for you and your family. But what did God want you to do to deal with it? And trust Him. And so what did you do? By faith, you did what God said. And then God took care of all of it, didn't He? It was a miracle. And Alex got saved at camp because of that. Ultimately because of that decision. Isn't that good? That's how God works. The world doesn't work that way. The world says, no, 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 you need to do it this way. And God's saying, no, 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 you need to follow Me. But following you, God, I don't think this is going to work out. I really need to do this. We follow God. We do it by faith. No matter what it seems to us, how it's going to work out, we follow God. That's what He's saying there. He's saying, hearken diligently. And then when you face the roadblocks of life or the hard trials of life, don't turn to the other gods. Don't turn to them. Don't go to them. Don't seek counsel. Don't worship them. Don't go to them looking for answers. No, 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 no. Stay with God. What happens if you turn from God? It brings the wrath of God, doesn't it? Yeah, that's the opposite of the blessings. The opposite of God's working in us. You know, what God wants us to learn to do as we are following Him is He wants us to learn to rely on Him. I think that if we put a umbrella statement over this whole passage, it would be learning to rely on God. Following God. What does that look like? You need to learn to rely on Him. Well, what's the word rely on? Rely mean? Well, 1828 Webster's Dictionary says this, that relying means to rest upon something. Like when you're tired and you just need a rest. You know what God wants you to do, what He wants you to learn to do in the area of relying on Him is resting. Resting on Him. Rest, what's another word for rest? How about peace? Let God be your peace. Oh, have you ever bent your fingernails before? You know what I mean? Oh, I don't know what's going to happen here. Do you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to rely on Him. And say something like this, God, I don't know, but You know. Yep. And that's enough for me. That's relying on God. I don't know, God, but You know. And that's enough for me. And I'm just going to let You do this. It's this. Oh, man, this is chaos. This is chaos. I don't know about this relationship, and I don't know about this financial thing, and all of this stuff, and my life is just... But you know what, God? You're in control. That's what it means to rely. Rest on God. He's in control. He knows. And that's enough. Last week, I can't remember. The days are sort of all jumbled up for me. But Brother Chad, baby Miss Chelsea, Nora, Myla, Kara, all sick. Now they're in recovery at this point. But Brother Chad took the girls to the hospital because it was awful and found out it was the flu. But Nora had the cough again. They were just in Omaha for 2 weeks at Children's Mercy. And now she has a cough again. Go to the hospital, and the doctor says, we need to do an x-ray, but I want you to be warned, there's potential for 2 more weeks in Children's Mercy. I mean, you can feel. I wasn't even there, and I could feel Miss Chelsea's heart falling on the ground. Are you kidding me? 2 more weeks at the hospital in Omaha? I don't know if I can do it. I'm not sure she said that, but I'm sort of talking for her, right? But here's what Brother Chad and I talked on the phone. And he said, you know what, Pastor? After, praise God, the x-ray came back and she didn't have the kind of flu that needed to go to Omaha, so the antibiotics kept them home. But as he prayed, you know what, Brother Chad, and I remember him telling me this on the phone. He said, Pastor, I didn't know what was going to happen. I was asking God to keep us in Fall City because we did not want to go to Omaha. But here's what I said to the Lord. Lord, I know that you know. You're in control, and I trust you. And then he just gave it to God. But please don't let us go to Omaha. I mean, just, you know, sort of tag that on the end. That's what it looks like to rest in God. That's what it looks like to rely on God. Is to say, God, you know when I don't know. And that's enough for me. Israel needed that. They needed that. They're going to go into the promised land. They're going to be tempted. Unfortunately, through their history, they always went back to the other gods, didn't they? And God brought judgment. But they didn't have to live that way. Did you know that's like for you and me? We don't have to live that way. But what do we need to do? We need to make him our all. We need to say this, and I'll be done. He's all I need. You want to sing with me? Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Do you believe that? That is what this is. When you learn to rely on God, watch this. He will take care of you. He is all you need. If we just weren't so hard in our heart to learn that great truth, our lives would be changed. Father, tonight, it might be that somebody is in a phase of life where they need to be moved and touched by you in a way that only you can move and touch them. Lord, I sense so often in my own life that I struggle with a kind of hardness or whatever it is, dear Lord, that has the attention of my heart to surrender to you and to follow you and to rely on you, to rest on you. But tonight I again want to be renewed in that aspect of my Christian life. And for those tonight who need to be renewed and refreshed in the area of relying on you, God, would you help us with that, please? To know that you're in control and that's enough. Guide us in your path. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. If God's word